This is another episode of Stand Up Comedy, your host and MC, celebrating 40 plus years on the fringe of show business. Stories, interviews, and comedy sets from the famous and not so famous. Here's your host and MC, Scott Edwards.
Hi, and welcome to this week's show. We have a great show coming up for you. I have gone deep into the archives to find some original live stand-up comedy from 1980. But before I get to that, I wanted to remind everybody that the website has been augmented, and now there's a way to email or even leave live messages on the website, www.standupyourhostandmc.com. Be sure to check it out. Leave me a message and let me know what you like and don't like about the podcast, because it's all about you, the listener. And thanks, by the way, for being that. Okay, let's talk about this week's show. As I mentioned, I went deep into the archives and found some original live stand-up comedy from late 1980, where we have the opening act and feature act. Now, I want to point out that both these acts ended up being long-standing headliners for us, but back in 1980, we were all just getting started. And coincidentally, the headliner that would have followed these two acts was Gary Shandling doing his very first headlining job at Laughs Unlimited, and I'll present that set of comedy in a later show. But for today, we have two great acts. So coming up later, the second act in this show will be the unedited As It Happened live set by Robert Aguayo, very, very, very talented comic musician out of Venice Beach, California. He did so much comedy music. In fact, if you've been listening to the shows, you've heard him two or three times. Very funny, very talented musically. In fact, he wrote and created the theme songs, not only for the club Laughs Unlimited, but for two of our TV shows. We really enjoyed working with him, and I know you'll enjoy his comedy. Now, as I mentioned, this set will be unedited, and it is As It Happened in late 1980. Robert Aguayo is the feature act, and in this particular podcast, our closer. Now, coming up right now, our opening act, very good friend of mine, Ron Kenny. Now, this guy is a classic MC-style entertainer, works a lot with the audience, has some very basic, funny humor that really gets the crowd going. He was important to the club because, again, this was early on when we were just getting started, and he taught me a lot of what I ended up using as an MC for the next 20-plus years. But back in late 1980, I had him as the opening act and MC for our original room. By the way, that was at 106 K Street. We were in the basement of the Delta Queen restaurant. We were just getting started. We had opened up in August of 1980. This show happens in approximately November, December of 1980, and I know you'll enjoy it. So a terrific full set from Robert Aguayo coming up in a few minutes, and right now, let's hear our opening act and MC, the very funny, very professional, Ron Kenny.
We've had fantastic crowds, but nothing like tonight. And we're really excited about this. Bear with us. We weren't quite ready. The cocktail service, the waitresses will get to you before midnight, I'm sure. And there are hors d'oeuvres and cocktails and everything available, and you're going to have a real good time. We're going to get the show started here in just a minute. I did want to tell you a couple things. First of all, we are a new club. You are going to have a good time. Be sure to tell your friends about it, because we really need Sacramento support. The other thing, coming events, just to get you excited about it, we've got some really big names coming up. I've got the Unknown Comic Book for next month. That guy is fantastic. You know Murray Langston, the guy with the bag and everything? He's going to be here. Larry Miller out of New York. Baby Man Bruce Baum from Hollywood's going to be up. Skip Stevenson from The Real People Show is going to be here sometime in the future. Soupy Sales, Martin Moore, we're doing lots of good things. Soupy Sales, yeah! Get this, we're doing something now. We're not sure when we're going to get him, but we're going to do it. We're going to try to get Henny Youngman in here. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So this is going to be a real fun club. Tell your friends about it. And right now, I think we should get started. Oh, no, before I start the show, one last thing. I know this is boring and I should get off the stage. So I'm going to, but one last thing. Promise. Love it. They'll get you. I know, they'll get you. starting this Monday night and every other alternating Monday night, any of you people that would like to be where I am, making a fool of yourself like I am, we're going to have an amateur night here in Sacramento and try to find some Sacramento talent. So tell your friends about it. Come in for amateur night. It's going to be every other Monday, and this Monday is our first. Now it's time to get off the stage. Right now, we've got a gentleman graduated from McClatchy High School, 1966. His friends are all over the back of the room, so be good to this guy. He moved down to Los Angeles, and there's a very big hit down there. He does all that, works all the comedy stores. The gentleman's been seen on the Comedy Shop TV show, and he's also been on the Fridays TV show. Let's have a big Sacramento welcome for Ronnie Kenny.
Thank you very much. That was really nice. How y'all doing? Hey, that's great. Really, how's everybody doing? How is everybody doing? We all speak English in here? That's wonderful. Doggone it. I'm excited about being back here in hip bitchin' disco Sacramento. Yeah. It is. It's great. It's great to be back. And I'm very excited they're having a comedy room up here. And let's hear it for a gentleman who brought this concept here to Sacramento. A guy was just on the stage. Mr. Scott Edwards. Let's hear it. A nice round of applause for Scotty. Now, Scott is a very good friend of mine and a known homosexual. Okay, I was just kidding about that. Come on. He's really not that good a friend. Good to see all of you. I want to know about all you folks before we get started here. Would you all do me a favor? Would you please applaud if this is your first time here tonight or if you've been here before? Okay, I see most of you couldn't make it. Can we get some more smoke up here, please? Some of the people in the back can still see me. They're kind of bummed out. That's all right, pal. You paid a cover, start yourself on fire. I don't care. Let me ask a question. I'd like to do this. Would you please applaud if you smoke anything? Applaud if you smoke. Yeah. Now watch this. Applaud if you don't smoke. A little more militant. What do you say we just clear the tables away, watch these two groups beat the shit out of each other? You want to work a lot of clubs. I think it's coming to that. Boy, it is. I'm emotional. It is so good to be here. And a lot of my friends in Hollywood, you know, where all the comedians work out, basically, they say, what's Sacramento like? You know, they thought it was like a cow town or something. It's ridiculous. But I said, it's really, now it's really 80s. It's really Sassoon. And you people look sharp. I like that. And I work all over this country. And people, wherever I go, they ask me. They plan their summer vacations going to Sacramento. And that's great. Are there any people here tonight from out of the... First of all, do we have any Iranians? Have you noticed they don't speak up in a group like they used to? But they do sneak in. Scotty told me to tell you, in case you are Iranian, for you there is a 200-drink minimum. Oh, boy. What a great room. And the restaurant, the Delta Queen, is... It's wonderful. Now, we kid about the food at the Delta Queen, but in my opinion, it's probably the finest food that the immigration laws will allow in Sacramento. If you want to have a lot of fun after the show, run back in their kitchen and yell, green card check. Yeah, you'll see about five guys go out a window, get in a 57 Chevy, and split. But do we have people from out of the state? Every show we've had a few people. Anyone visiting from out of the state? This is just Sacramento. This is, that's good. No, I mean, wait a minute, you can't raise your hand because these lights are like Kawasaki headlights here and I can't see it. This is in a comedy club you applaud if, good, a guy back there slapping himself on the side of the head to stay awake. I like that. Great, he just took a sip out of his candle. That's good. Where are you from, sir? Do you have any idea? These questions aren't that tough, ladies and gentlemen. I ask these things wherever I go. Was this the show that was sponsored by the CETA program? Was that the... I like it when they spend money. I do. Boy, look at this. You guys look good. This is a very good-looking crowd tonight. Everybody looks really macho and... you people tell me, be honest. How many people think I look too macho? This crowd's starting to piss me off just a little bit. You know that... I blew out my hair for this. I got my Christmas sweater on. Now, let's go. I mean, really. No, but you guys look good. Now, this guy, he's got his hair coiffed, he's got the macho mustache and the Kmart shirt. Makes no dough. Do you get laid a lot in that outfit, though, do you? Just get the matching backgammon set and everything, and puka shells on the Porsche. I like that. That's where are you from, sir? Are you local? Or Sacramento, and you came all that way to see the show. What do we got for him, Scotty? Let's bring in that digital canned ham from last show. Macrame TV set, you're the big winner. My name's Ronnie. What's yours? Take a hike, Dennis. I don't like you. It's a, just kidding. I'm just being stupid. I don't know why. I've got brain damage. But one thing I love about this club, this is nicer than most that I work. And people here, there's one little thing I really appreciate. It's called tipping the comedian. And you people think it doesn't add up or I don't appreciate it. You're crazy. So I had to drive up. Oh, he's really pissed. Okay, I'm sorry. Here you go. That's all right. Just buy yourself a new shirt, okay? And we'll dress up. And how you doing, pretty girl? Is this your wife or business trip or what is this? Huh? Just a friend. Well, welcome to the show. You ladies look great tonight. All of you do. And look at this. This is a real nice. Look what you got here. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that nice? That's it's got a cherry in it, too. Yeah. Deja vu. It's wonderful. It's a... How many people feel it's even money that I get this shit kicked out of me now? What do you think about it? Well, I'm into that, and I'm drawing flies, and I'm really bummed out now. Now, we're here to have fun. Now, the comedians, they do a lot of things with the crowd. They talk about a wide range of subjects, so we're just all adults. We're here to have fun, and don't take it too seriously. And I want to tell you about the guys we have on the show. Two of my best friends in comedy, and they're both outstanding gentlemen. The headliner tonight, they held him over from last week. He was so good, and he's been on all the major TV shows. He just got back from Las Vegas where he taped the Merv Griffin show at Caesar's Palace. Mr. Gary Shandling is here tonight. Let's hear it for Gary. Yeah. And another good friend of mine, an extremely talented musician, played with a lot of rock groups, and then he got into comedy, opens for a lot of rock groups on the road, and he was on the Comedy Shop and also Make Me Laugh. Mr. Robert Aguayo is here tonight. We got a big show for you. And, of course, my name is Ronnie Kenny. That's just my nickname. My real name is Ronald Kenneth. Thanks for remembering. I like that. I don't know. I haven't done a lot of the major TV shows, like almost all the performers you'll see here, Laughs Unlimited. I was on a big hit game show here in Sacramento last summer. You might remember me from Bowling for Quaaludes. Did you see me on that show? That's where I let the ball go, and I really didn't care what the score was. No, I'm just, excuse me, I'm kind of offended right now. We start here at 10:30, pal. These people have been here waiting, and they're all set to go, and that kind of, I like good citizenship in my crowd. It's, what's up to you? How many people think those two guys should buy everybody a round of drinks? What do you say? There you go. I think he's going to spend a little bit more money than he planned on tonight. That's it.
It's all plastic.
Okay. Security check on that table, please. I was on there's not a real show like Bowling for Quaaludes. It's called just testing the audience, find out what if it's a drug crowd or whatever. That's I'll tell you, the comics talk about everything. I want you to know I don't talk about drugs in my act because I don't know anything about drugs myself personally. And Benson, some rich people. How nice. That's great. That's good. This guy with a shovel around his neck. Good to see you, sir. No, I really, I don't do drugs. I do drink. I like to drink. Thank you, Bobby Luttrell in the corner. That's great. No, I have a lot of friends here tonight. And Bobby, I got home last night. I was watching TV, and I had a few. And all of a sudden, this commercial came on, local commercial, and it said, "Do you have a drinking problem? If you do, dial 472-3883." And I called it, and it was the Pine Cove Liquor Store. I live with Harry down there now, and I have a little room, and I shower, and it's nice. But now, what I do, I'm very lucky. When I do come up here, I come up here about once a year in the past. That's why I hope this club goes, so I can come up here more often. But I come up every year for the Pig Bowl game, and the Pig Bowl game, that's my life. It is. I just don't do anything the rest of the year. I just get ready for the Pig Bowl game. And my best friend, who I stay with when I come up here, Mike Shearing, he plays in that, and... It turned out, almost all the guys I went to high school, all my friends, they either work for the fire department, like Bobby, or they work for the PD. Mike works for the Sacramento Sheriff's Department, which is a real left-wing organization. Yeah, no, it's, I kid about it. I want to do a quick, I made up this impression. You tell me if I'm wrong. It's a quick impression, Sacramento Sheriff's Deputy. Call it or I'll shoot. I live in Hollywood now, a Hollywood policeman. I have a bullet somewhere. No, I tell you, I loved it. I lived here about 4 years, and then we went, Sacramento was great. I lived here across the street from a park, and now I live in Hollywood across the street from an S&M thrift shop called Whips or Us. It's different. These are the real people up here. And good. Is there anyone anyone from any place interesting besides Sacramento, which is anybody else visiting? I like to know. I work all over the country. Hi, Judy. Oh, cutie. Huh? Montreal, Canada. That's wonderful. I think you came the farthest to see this show. I love Canada, number one, because that's where I spent the war. But I do love this country, okay? I really do. But, Montreal, that's nice. Just down for the Olympics? No, there's a lot, you know, a lot of the comics talk about political stuff. I only have one political statement I want to make and get it out of the way. I don't like the way that some Canadians sneak down over our border and they take jobs away from our Mexicans. Just had to get that out. It was, I don't know, that snowback problem really concerns me and has been something. I didn't know, this is the first time I've seen that. They have bottles of wine. That's good. This is a good place. This is great. This is the Von de Beaujolais to Safeway. That's great. That's 1980 was a good year for that. How you doing, pal? Where are you from? Kalamazoo. Yeah, okay. Well, I'll do the comedy. Okay, is there such a place? Is that a new suburb here? I don't know. This is what happens when the fetus doesn't get enough oxygen. They start making up things. Are you really? Is there a... Michigan. Well, that's a great... Okay, it is, really. There is a Kalamazoo. I knew there was. Michigan, that explains the John Deere tractor in the parking lot. Is that yours with the gun rack and the CB radio on it? And they drove all that way to see the show. Let's hear it from Michigan, ladies and gentlemen, and Canada, too. I like that. That's good. I played Dearborn. I was at Dearborn, that university there, and the University of Michigan. And I got to tell you my favorite place I went to in this whole country. It's nuts. I don't... It is crazy. And New York City is nuts. The most energetic town. You folks ever been to New York? Good. I'll make you feel at home. Wait a minute. That's not offensive. I just study people wherever I go. And this is what everybody does. Every guy standing on a street corner in New York City, he paces and he does this. And I don't know what it means. I don't. I just study people. I'm an observer. And... they're all walking. Another thing about New Yorkers, they all tell you exactly what they're doing, you know? Hey, yo, I'm walking here. They see a girl. Hey, honey. And, see, I'm not used to that. That energy, the place is nuts. And, because basically, after I left here, I spent about 10 years in Southern California, and where I lived with a lot of surfers, you know? I'm going to tell you, surfers are nice people, too, but they're the opposite of, like, a New Yorker. They have no energy, you know, no metabolism. I don't know how they get around. You ask a surfer how his day went, he goes, oh, wow. Okay, you know, man, like, you know, like, the waves are really primo. I mean, like, they were freaking gnarly. Then I get off the plane in New York City. Hey, yo, I'm walking here. Just telling you what I saw, folks. And it's strange, Kennedy Airport, you hear different things over the PA system than you do anywhere else. Will Three Finger Louie report to the white courtesy telephone, please? Three Finger Louie. And you see a guy walk by with a rifle and a shoulder holster, and it is different. Clubs are different. Well, this is a very nice crowd. You people are laughing, but you're like, you're not heckling. And that the whole town heckles. They heckle everything. They heckle each other. They're nuts. They throw things when you're on stage. They come on stage in their cars. And I'm doing drive-through comedy, you know, at... But I'm getting the most amazing thing I ever saw in my life. It's a true story. I went to church when I was in New York City. Think about this. They even heckled the minister. I couldn't believe it. They heckled the minister. But the thing was, it was absolutely beautiful the way the minister handled it. He went, hey, yo, I'm preaching here. Put some money in the plate. I'm preaching up here, okay? And this had such a big impact on me. I got home to Southern California. I went to church with my parents. I decided to heckle our minister. But he couldn't handle it. He went, oh, wow, what a bummer. True story, absolutely. It's I don't know. It's I don't hang around my folks very much anymore down there. But, see, another thing, my dad was also a policeman for 20 years. Now, that's a tough way to grow up. It's very strict. It's I don't know. Give you an example. You know how most fathers, they describe their son to somebody by his appearance, his hobbies. Maybe his boy's a great athlete, pretty good student. My dad always described me to people as a young male Caucasian youth. Different, yeah. Yeah, he never called me Ronnie. He called me suspect. And but I went to his 20-year retirement dinner they had for him a couple years ago. It was kind of like this. It was very nice. And this is a true story. 20 years on the force, my dad, he only drew his gun once. And after that, I didn't have to be told to take out the trash again. This guy meant it. Very strict. I remember one time I was about 12 years old. What I had done, he caught me smoking a cigarette, you know, so he teach me a lesson. He made me smoke an entire carton of them. I'll tell you something, though. I wish he'd have caught me with a girl. I always wondered how he would have handled that, you know. It, all right, learn your lesson. Go all the way there. It, but people don't believe me. My friends know this, though, and it's true. My dad, he raised our family with police tactics. You know, little things like when my brothers and I were younger, it would start to get dark outside, and my dad would come out on the front porch and he'd call us in for dinner, you know, but with a bullhorn. Return to your home. There's nothing more to see. Return to your home. I mean, this is kind of embarrassing when you're a little kid, you know? It sounds like God's calling in, and kids are running around bumping into each other. It was, but that was my dad. That's the kind of guy he was. Always walking around the house in his underwear, his gun, his bullhorn. He was on top of it. Oh, I'll never forget another time. This was really embarrassing for me. What I had done, I was 14. What I had done, I'd locked myself in the bathroom for a really long time. You know, I was doing some reading. And some of you guys remember that. The thing was, my dad wanted me out of that bathroom, so he came up the door with a bullhorn. Put down your gun and come out with your hands up. That was embarrassing. Then he said, you know, you keep that up, you go blind. I figure he ought to know. He was the one wearing the glasses. But I tell you, I was very naive about all that stuff. Even when I went to school here at McClatchy, I was that's when I first started dating, and can't believe what how naive I was about everything. It's one thing I like about dating now, think about this, gentlemen. We're all 21 and up in here. Now when you go to pick up a girl, it's nice. She has her own apartment, a roommate. You don't have to meet her parents. Now that's what I hated the most about dating in high school. I had to meet the father, who was always so intimidating. Remember, my first time, I was 16, and the mother was nice, but the father really intimidated me because, you know, he knew why I was there. The thing, I didn't know that he knew. I was, anyway, this man really threw me off, blew me away. He says to me, so Ronnie, what are your plans for this evening? I said, well, sir, I've learned that plans don't always work out, and that's why I called your daughter, because she's a sure thing. I partied alone that night, folks. It wasn't... But I'll tell you one thing, thinking about, I'm just speaking for myself, but I really kind of believe it. I think sex is a lot more exciting when you're a teenager. You know, the first time, you don't know what to expect, and... like, as an example, I'll never ever forget the first time I put my hand up inside of a girl's sweater. Yeah, I remember it was hanging on a rack at Sears at the time. And, quite an effect on me. I never got over that. But one thing I like, now that we all get older, you know, guys don't talk about girls the way they used to. It used to be kind of disgusting, the things guys would say in high school. You know, it's every Monday morning was the weather report, you know, whether you scored or not, and that kind of stuff. And the way guys would describe stuff. I remember one Monday morning, I said to one of my friends, Chris, I said, Chris, I didn't see you over the weekend. Did you have a good time? Did you go out? What'd you do? He said, did I go out? He said, I took Shirley to the park. Screwed her brains out. And I thought, gee, how inconsiderate. I mean, really, Shirley was up for a scholarship and everything, you know, that. Not now, she works at a 7-Eleven store, and so think about it, girls, before you give it up. A mind's a terrible thing to waste. Oh, boy, it's a... I'll tell you one thing. Every girl's done this now, and all the guys have heard this line. I want all you guys, think back to the very first time you heard a girl tell you that she doesn't go all the way. First time I heard that, I only drove her partway home. I was a bright kid. It was... But I got to tell the ladies this, because I'm convinced of this. I mean, this was like required for guys in high school. Every guy in this room, even when he's in high school, one way or another, would get a hold of a rubber, you know, put it in his wallet in case he ever got lucky. Now, everybody did. I even did that. I can prove it because I still got mine. Not a pretty story, but geez, this is great. That's good. I like good laugh. Just let it go. That's good. That's good. This is a good crowd. We're going to have a lot of fun, and boy, we had a lot of fun this week. Mike and some of the guys, they took us out water skiing, and which is great. I love the water skiing. You got to understand, the two guys on the show with me tonight, one is Mexican and one is Jewish. Do you folks know from Jewish up here at the... Are you Jewish? There are Jews. Well, that's good. For the rest of you, one will be on stage, and you can ask him questions about it and point at him, and it's very nice, but... A Jew water skiing, you got to realize, that's a funny idea. That's funny, you know, that's... And the Mexican Chicano gentleman, Mike, isn't used to minorities, I would say. I knew something was up when he gave him a life preserver with, like, a chain wrapped around it, and drug him up and down the river, but... I had a good time. It's been so much fun. And one thing, I don't have to stay in a motel when I'm here. I stay with Mike and his wife. And one thing I realized, they have a little son. He's about a year and a half. And I haven't been around kids very much. And I learned something this week. It was the other night we were having dinner. And I'm looking at little Junior. He's sitting across from me in his high chair. He's so cute. And all of a sudden he made this expression like he was sick or something, you know. So I said to Stephanie, I said, what's the matter? He looks ridiculous. And she said, well, he's going number two. You know, he's filling up his pants. And I started thinking, that's right, kids wear diapers wherever they go, they're carte blanche, you know. You can be sitting in a restaurant and they just party out. That's great. I thought about it. So I look back across the table at Junior and he's sitting there going... Stephanie said, don't look at him, you'll embarrass him. So I looked over at Mike and Mike was sitting there going... Give yourselves a round of applause. Thank you very much. I'll be your MC the rest of the night. Good crowd. Good crowd. Thank you. This is good, and I am so proud, really, because Scott did a very good job of coming down to L.A. and scouting the clubs and picking the right people to come up here. This is, because let's face it, I'm pretty goddamn disco. No, it's but he knew I used to live up here, and this is nice, and I get to come up here a lot. And like he said, tell your friends. It's if you enjoy the show tonight, tell your friends. And if you don't, just like keep it to yourself. Like it's a little secret that never happened. And I'm excited about that Monday night thing. What is that? It's a nude bowling night here. And boy, it's Sacramento's really taking a change. But what else? Let me bring up the next gentleman. Keep the show going. He is dynamite. We started out about the same time, and like I said, he was a very talented musician, and he still opens for a lot of rock groups. And he's been on Don Kirshner's rock concert also, and Make Me Laugh, and a lot of the big shows. And he's a lot of fun. He's been having a great week. So what do you say we give a big Sacramento welcome right now to Robert Aguayo. Let's hear it for him. A big hand for Mr. Ron Kinney. Ron Kinney.
What an asshole, wow. Wow, we're here for a good time. Scott killed the fire marshal, so we're going to have a nice time. Everything's going to be fine. How are we doing over here? All right, well, I'm in a real good mood, and I'd like to just clear up a couple things right at the beginning of my show. No, are you from New York? You're from New York. You got the joke then, huh? Okay. I'll handle the funny crap, okay? Number one, I will be paid whether you laugh or not. Not a big pressure situation for me. Number two, about a half an hour ago, I took some peyote. And I'm just now starting to come on. So we're going to have a good time. Let me tell you about myself, explain a few things. I'm a professional comedian. I've toured around. I've been on television. I could come out here and get you off like that. But I'm prolonging you so that we can finish together. It's important. You have to care about these things. You have to be sensitive. As Ronnie mentioned, I am Chicano. We have any Chicanos here? Good night, ladies and gentlemen. If there are any Chicanos here, please speak up. Be proud. Spray your name on the wall. Be proud. I'm Chicano, but I was not always Chicano. When I was a kid growing up, we were just Mexicans. One day we got a letter in the mail from New West Magazine. Starting the third, you're Chicanos. We said, fine. Sometimes people will say stuff like, you don't look Mexican, and I never know how to take that. Like, we're all supposed to look alike, you know? So if they say you don't look Mexican, I just go, okay, you're Mexican. 60s, they called us Mexican-American. Sounds like Wonder Bread tacos, huh? Recently, Time Magazine called us Hispanic. Now that sounds like a medical condition, right? Jerry can't drive, he's Hispanic! I was, of course, raised as a Roman Catholic, so I belong to the world's largest club, ex-Catholics. Do we have any ex-Catholics here? Good! See y'all in purgatory, all right. Folks, if you have never been to a Catholic mass, let me tell you what happens. You walk in, you make the sign of the cross, you sit down, you kneel down, you stand up, you sit down, you kneel down, you stand up, you sit down, you kneel down. But all the time that you're doing this, you're beating yourself on the chest, making the sign of the cross. Hey, it's a lot like disco. Now, all the time that I'm doing this, I never really knew when you were supposed to stand and when you were supposed to kneel. I just looked at the person in front of me. I stood when they did. I kneeled when they did. One time the guy in front of me has a seizure and I'm going, those of you who were Catholic, doesn't this remind you of the confessional thing? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was 1942. Let me tell you about my family. I have two sisters. I have an older sister and a younger sister. My older sister is 7 years older than me. When we were kids, we would be home alone after school because both my parents worked, so she would play great Nazi psychological games with me. Picture this, I'm 5 years old, my sister is 12, I'm watching television. She would walk in the room and say something like, you know, Mom pays everyone to be nice to you. Mom has to pay everyone to be nice to you. I thought you knew. Hey, why do you think Mom has to work? We can afford your friends. I get older, I think I'll play this on my younger sister, right? My younger sister is there watching television. I walk in. Hey, you know you're adopted. My younger sister is hip. She whips out her birth certificate. I was not adopted, you creep. No wonder Mom has to pay everyone to be nice to her. Drinking water. You guys don't have drinks. What's this? Black Russian. Is that one of the pina colada? If you like pina colada, get on. How many think that's the stupidest song in the entire world? That's your favorite song. Okay. That's your favorite song. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hey, but you were outvoted. That is the stupidest song in the world. Now, don't you think it's the stupidest song after I sang it like that? Those are great drinks. You see this in nightclubs all the time. Guy and a girl will come in together. Guy will say, baby, order whatever you want. Girl will say, okay, I'll have a pina colada. Guy will say, oh, God. Because like most drinks, $2, $3. Pina colada is $14.75. How about kamikazes? Anyone have a kamikaze, a little vodka drink? They have that, a lot of bars around have these things like kamikaze night. It's like Tuesday night. You go in there, 50 cents a piece. You spend $3 or $4, have 6 or 8 of them, smooth right down before they even hit you, you know? Next day, you wake up in Stockton with a real estate salesman. You bought a condo, you don't know how. I don't drink beer. Some people consider that almost un-American, you know? It's like, you don't drink beer? Well, you probably don't like to beat up queers either. Somebody think I am gay. Can I see your hands? I am a heterosexual. Let me explain my feelings. I would rather be gay and getting off a lot than straight and horny is my feeling, folks. But I couldn't do that. I don't know gay etiquette. I don't know what's proper on a first date. Who gets on top? I don't know these things, you know? So I go out with women, and I went out with this lady, and she was great, but very insecure. And I had to stop seeing her. Every time I leave her, she wanted a $50 security deposit. Can't blame certain women for being insecure. Some men will say rude things. What do you think of that girl over there? Hey, I wouldn't kick her out of bed. Guys that say that wouldn't kick a water buffalo out of bed. Good love does take maturity. To me, there is nothing like the love of a 30-year-old woman or two 15-year-olds. See, now some people are cheering, some people... she can't please everybody. No, guys are more aggressive about love because guys are built differently. And, yeah, I know this is a shock to some of you. Guys are built differently. With a guy, everything's out in the open. If a guy gets aroused, hey, it's no secret. It doesn't just sneak up on you, you know? Can't be there in conversation. Hi, Jim, what'd you think of the game? How'd I get there? Women are much different. You could be horny right now. We wouldn't know. Are you horny right now? Both hands on the table, okay? My last year in high school, I was in the Guinness Book of World Records for the horniest teenager in America, and I used to go with Susie Fleming. We would park in front of her house, and I would want to make out, and she would cool me right out with one of those great teenage love questions like, would you still love me if I was ruined in a skiing accident? Great when you break up with a girl as a teenager. The girl gives you everything back. Here's your album, sweater, necklace. You break up with that same person as an adult, they'll take everything. I love the house, car, gonads, thank you. Divorce people, okay. I've been traveling around a lot, and I always try to get like a little souvenir of the different places I go. I want to show you a couple things I got. I was in San Francisco. Weird city because they got all those hills there, you know. And they don't have hills in San Francisco? Okay, let's take a poll. You folks be quiet for a second. How many of you think San Francisco is slightly weird? They have a lot of streets there that only go one way, which is more than you can say for a lot of the guys there. So anyway, I got this hat there. It's a People's Army hat from China. What I like to do is I go down to Camp Pendleton and piss off Marines. These are great. If you know anyone who is shy and having trouble meeting people, get them a hat like this, have them wear it to a country and western bar or a truck stop. I meet new friends right away. I was in Florida, down there, the sun is so good that you want to lie out every day and get a tan, you know. So they say these little things to put over your eyes so they protect your eyes when you're lying out there, you don't hurt your eyes. They're great. They make you look like Kermit, right? Kermit the Frog. But if you want to have fun, just get a pair of these. Wear them into a liquor store late at night. You here alone, man? Works everywhere but Hollywood. In Hollywood, they just go, yeah, come on, buddy, next guy. Well, I'm going to set this stuff up. Oh, I should mention this. We're staying out late tonight. We're having a good time. We're drinking. We're having a party. Some of you may have to get up early to go to work tomorrow if you have like a Sunday gig or something like that. Here's a good way to get out of it. If you just, you're not in the mood because, you know, tomorrow, just call in sick, but get yourself a stool or a chair like this, and as you call in, lean over the back, and listen, you won't be able to go.
Hello, it's me. I don't think I could come in today.
See, so you get out of work. You can do it Sunday, Monday, whatever. Okay, so you'll be getting out of work and you want to sleep in, get some few extra Z's, and the Jehovah's Witnesses will come banging on your door at about 6 in the morning. Good way to get rid of them. What I do is when they come to the door, before I answer the door, I just take a pen and I write 666, the sign of the devil, on my forehead. Ah, come on in, yeah, all right. Now, 17-piece band. 16 of the guys had car trouble tonight. Couldn't make the show. See, I don't have a roadie. Most like big acts have like a guy with a satin jacket and a name on the back that carries the stuff out for him. They're called roadies, right? Roadies never can just hand a guy something. Like at a rock concert, you know, a guy needs a guitar, and they just hand the guitar. Roadies always act like they're in battle. They always... But I don't have one of those guys, so got the old power amp for you folks here. There's two hamsters in here working overtime for you. The Bee Gees be like at home. Yeah! Saturday Night Fever was a good movie, but anyone who has seen that or Urban Cowboy knows that John Travolta really does dance like a horse. Hi, John. How old are you? Any of you guys into punk rock, new wave, any of that? I went along with every fad there was. Long hair, I'll go long hair, short hair, Hawaiian shirt. Until they got to the safety pin in the nose, you know? And I said, thank you, I'm old, thank you. The rock business is in trouble. The artists are not selling as many records as they used to. And it got so bad that last week a group of whales did a benefit for Judy Collins' career. Things are very tough. So here's a song I wrote for one of our top recording stars of the day. I wrote this song for Pope John Paul II. He made an album, he did, you know. And he's touring later this year with Black Sabbath. And here's a song I'm trying to get him to record. So I want you to pretend you're at a rock concert, okay? Pretend you've just taken that fourth or fifth barbiturate. Now you can't remember if you're the person on the right or left, you know. You just shouted, rock and roll, for like about 8 hours, you know, and the band has finally gotten the idea. Talk about rock and roll, and they don't really know, and they try to act hip, you know, like, rock and roll? Hey, rock is my life. Are you kidding? My favorite, Mr. Ed Zeppelin. Or Buzz Skaggs. Buzz is great, too. Buzz was just here. Any of you see Buzz out at the auditorium? You wish. Okay, not good enough. I'm sorry. I like Buzz Skaggs because Buzz sounds like he accidentally swallowed an entire bottle of muscle relaxants, right? Not the kind of guy you want to ask directions from. Hey, boss, how do you get to the hospital? One of our big stars are doing commercials. So a lot of our music stars will probably start doing commercials. It probably won't be long before you see something like this. A spokesman for his generation. Now a spokesman for your stomach.
It tastes just like a burger.
Yes, it does. Looks just like a burger. Yes, it does. It smells just like a burger.
But it's a taco just the same.
Hi, friends. Bob Dylan here for Taco City. You know, whenever it's been a hard rain at our house, why, me and the entire Rolling Thunder of you pile on down to Taco City. Taco City is the only place I know you can feed 4 to 7 people for under a buck. Next time you get the munchies, friends, remember,
the answer, my friends, is just to drive on in. The answer is just to drive on in.
You know, all over the world, people love rock and roll. If you went to Outer Mongolia and got off your plane and checked into the hotel, the bellboy would come up to you.
You are from America? Do you know Ted Nugent? Cat scratch fever.
They love rock and roll everywhere. I'd like to give you a history of rock and roll. Now, rock and roll started with early caveman expressing his wants and his needs, right? This was before caveman invented language. Before he invented phrases like bum to the max. So when caveman was upset, he used to go, oh, oh. This is good, but it needed a backbeat. So early caveman was very inventive. He took the giant tusk from a giant mastodon elephant, a giant mastodon elephant nose hair, and stretched it across. He made the first primitive stringed instrument. He plugged that into his amplifier and proceeded to play along with his grunts and groans. It's got good to caveman, and when he invented language, man was able to play and sing along with his words. Now this takes us to the southern plantations. Slaves working in the field, picking cotton, playing and singing.
Working in the hot sun. Working for the man. If I was like Homer, at least I'll get a tan.
This was good, but it wasn't quite a hit. But it was in 1937 in these southern plantations that Robert Johnson cut that immortal classic.
You better come in my kitchen, because it's going to be rain outdoors.
Needless to say, the record-buying public of America went crazy. Who could resist that? You better come in my kitchen, because they're going to be raining outdoors. Sold 19 copies. But Robert Johnson was the first guy to go. And then Chuck Berry and Muddy Waters just sped that up. Chuck Berry wrote about 2,000 songs of that. We bought about 1,500 of them. And then in England, in the early 60s, groups like the Beatles and the Stones and the Who, they took that and they did their own thing. They'd come out and they go,
all right now we like to do a little song. We go something like this.
You better come in my kitchen.
Sold 19 million copies this time. And it reached its pinnacle last year when the Rolling Stones appeared on Saturday Night Live. They propped Keith up for the show, brought him out. And you can see how far rock and roll has come from early caveman when the Rolling Stones came out and proceeded to play. Paul McCartney went to Japan, remember, and they caught him with some dope, and they busted him, right? That's good. I think they should keep Paul McCartney off the heavy drugs, because, yeah, when he was with the Beatles, he used to write great songs. He meditated. He wrote songs like Yesterday and Eleanor Rigby. Now he smokes dope, and he writes songs like, I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird, I'm a bluebird. Hey, keep the man off drugs, you know? You can't blame him for experimenting, though. All of us are curious about drugs. I mean, I was curious as a kid, as an adolescent. I remember, like, 26 of us got together to buy our first lid, you know? Bought it for on this guy. Guy sold us oregano, you know? And, hey, we should have been suspicious, too. $1.49 a pound. You know, it's the best drugs now, doctors and dentists, because they get it legally. And maybe this has happened to some of the ladies here. You go to the dentist to get a tooth pulled out. He gives you that gas, and as you're coming out of it, he says, "Hey, you were great." Of course, I come from... that was a great wave of... Ooh. I come from San Pedro, California. Guys there get busted for one joint, and then they go before the judge and ask to please be put on the methadone program. Some people say that smoking dope will make you dumb, but I say dope smokers are the most creative people I've ever seen. You ever see someone who has something to smoke and nothing to smoke it in? Hollow out that brick over there. We'll make a pipe. I like marijuana because it makes the world simple. When you're stoned on marijuana, the world consists of only three things: sleeping, fucking, and raspberry tarts. We have some tart people here tonight. Yay, okay, tart people. Everything you put in your body affects you. The booze and the dope and also the food that you eat, right? There was, the LA City schools have banned junk foods in the LA City schools. This is true, you know. And it won't stop kids from having junk foods. Just drive them into the street, right? Hey, kids. Twinkies. Remember in San Francisco, there was a guy who killed the mayor and the supervisor. He got a sentence reduced to manslaughter based on the fact that he had too much sugar in his blood from Twinkie bitches. Remember that? Right? Sets a dangerous legal precedent, right? Your Honor, when my client killed those 27 people, oh, he was under the influence of yo-hos and ding-dong. I'd like to call my first witness, Pillsbury Doughboy. Come on up here. I don't always understand our judicial system. Like in a rape trial, they always try to prove the woman in question enticed the guy by being dressed provocatively. But if you think about it, to anyone who is wacko enough to commit rape, what kind of outfit isn't provocative? You have anything to say in your defense? Well, Your Honor, I didn't want to do it, but she looked so good. She was wearing a ski sweater and a football helmet. I couldn't help myself.
Oh, let him go.
Well, I think this group is ready to discuss love in an adult manner. Do we have a lot of people here tonight in love? That's good. No one on this side of the room, but that's okay. That's good. Anyone like the person they're with? Okay, we got them over here. This is the like side of the room. Love is changing. When my parents got married, it's like you got married forever, right? And if you had any problems, if you're fighting about anything, didn't matter. You didn't get divorced. You stayed together for the sake of the kids, right? And like in our family, the kids are going, "Please get divorced. Please get divorced." No, we stay together for the sake of the kids, right? Nowadays, people get together, they marry each other, or they just move in together. One day, one of them wakes up and goes, "You scratched my Springsteen record," and they're gone, you know? Never see them again. Men have a special name for it when they're looking for love. Men call it hoping to get lucky, right? Go out tonight, I'll get lucky. 2 weeks later, the girl calls you from the free clinic. "Hey, your luck ran out." Play weird games when you're drinking, too. Games like hide and go throw up. And if you're drunk and in love, you'll play games like, "Darling, I know when we make mad passionate love, you fantasize, you think of somebody else. Well, I fantasize and I think of somebody else. You tell me who you are thinking of, and I'll tell you who I was thinking of." Don't try this in your own homes, by the way. "We're drunk, we're making passionate love. She says, 'Okay, I was thinking of Barry Manilow.' Said, 'Far out, so was I.'" You guys are different. We discussed that. That's why I really like Monday Night Football, because a lot of men, we can only let out our emotions twice during the week. When we're coming in Monday Night Football. Now, you watch Monday Night Football, group of guys all together, big screen, guy goes out for a pass, misses the pass. Every guy in the room, you never see women do that. Women are different. Women are sensitive. When a woman is making love to approach the big O, she can't be distracted. Does this group know what I'm talking about, the big O? This is not Oakland, folks, okay? When a woman is making love to approach the big O, she can't be distracted. Stereo can't be too loud. Neighbor can't be typing. Someone next building can't turn a light on. wind can come in a windstorm. Open heart surgery, hey, no problem. It's true, and you know it. Oh, she's burying her head on your shoulder. That's cute. Well, look, I got a song I'm going to do, a song about love before I go, and I would like to dedicate it to a couple that we might have here tonight, Laughs Unlimited, that's on a first date. Anyone on a first date?
Yeah.
Right there?
No,
right there. Okay. You're just the fifth wheel. Is there?
Yes, over here, okay? Right there.
Over there. Oh, by the way, isn't this a neat room? Look at these pictures. You can take these pictures home with you if you'd like. Because we've been trying to get rid of them for about 2 weeks so far. Doesn't this remind you of like a banquet hall, something like you would place you would have your class reunion, right? So, any of you who want to get in the mood for a class reunion, just go, "Hey, Larry!" Okay, just get into it and you can do that. So, you are Ron. Hi, Ron.
Nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you. And you are?
Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
How you doing? Ron and Sherry. How many believe those are their real names? Ron and Cherry, how did you two meet? From those people, right? So you guys are mutual friends, right? That's good, because if the date goes real well, I mean, you know, that's nice that your friends have brought you together, and it's that much better. Of course, if it doesn't go well, you've lost two friends, and that's life, huh? So Ron and Cherry, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad your friends brought you here, because you're going to have a great time tonight. I know you are. And this is the beginning of a relationship for you. I know it is. And you're going to be saying, Sherry, you're going to be saying, "I had such a good time at Laughs Unlimited. I was there with Ron, and we laughed, and we had fun, and we drank, and we sang. We had a good time." Feeling kind of romantic, you know? Should I kiss him? Ron will be trying to ram his tongue down your throat. When that beautiful moment happens, I'd like you to think of me here singing this song to you. Everyone here is staring at you. You see if you can get something going, okay? So this is a song about love, and it's a song about sexual fantasy, so I think what we'll do, let's go around the room telling our favorite sexual fantasy. So Stan, state your name and age. Here we go. Oh, don't tell, like it's a secret. Okay. You guys want to write a penthouse letter tonight? Everyone contributes one verb. I blank, she blanks, I blank. Name withheld, Sacramento. So this is for Ron and Cherry, you guys. This is the big night for you guys. And I want to say, really, all of you have just been a lovely audience. Hey, I wish I could go down on each and every one of you.
Pajamas, your satin slips. We'll wear our raincoats and my rubber gloves. Come on, baby, let's really make love. You be the schoolgirl, I'll be the priest. You be the beauty, I'll be the beast. I got some movies to help with the plot. Come on, mama, let's really get hot. We'll ask a third if that turns you on. Oh, maybe you're redhead, maybe you're blonde. Your husband, I've been my wife. Where have you been, baby, all of my life? I got the whipped cream, you bring the pills, and I'll get the Jell-O for that extra thrill. We'll say a prayer, mama, just for good luck. Who knows, maybe this time I can get it up, get it up. Well, I got the leather,
ladies and gentlemen, that was the comedy and music stylings of Robert Aguayo, who ended up being one of our regular headliners for the next 20 years. Great, great guy, and we really appreciate him. And then opening up the show, you heard one of the best MCs and comics in the business. And again, he ended up as a headliner for us, Ron Kenny. So both these guys, you just heard their live set from 1980. I know you enjoyed it. Next week, we're going to have another great show. So thanks for listening. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Stand Up Comedy, Your Host and MC. For information on the show, merchandise, and our sponsors, or to send comments to Scott, visit our website at www.standupyourhostandmc.com. Look for more episodes soon and enjoy the world of stand-up comedy. Visit a comedy showroom near you.